been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We've got a mixed open to the market, but I like the way that the market's open so far. The Dow is up 112 points right now at 35,058. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, is closing ground right now. It's down 23. It was down more. I like the direction it's headed. The NASDAQ's at 13,610. The S&P is up just 4 points, but it's up 4,441. Small caps are up 30 basis points. Crude oil is up 7 cents to 81.06. Gold has pretty much come to a halt here. It's at 1935. It did get above 2000 there for a while. Silver is up a penny, 22.67. We need some kind of catalyst here. We'll be talking about that in a minute. There are some FOMC minutes coming out later today. The 10-year, 4.22 right now. 4.22 is where the 10-year is, and that's pretty much the resistance level. We would not expect it to go higher from here, just based on technical analysis and the resistance level. Every time it's gotten there in the past, it's pulled back. Bitcoin is down 297 to 29,035. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, it's kind of, the market has a very little direction right now. Maybe the FOMC minutes, that usually tends to kick up a little dust. They come out later today.
Yeah, you kind of summed it up in your initial note this morning. Yeah, you know, it looks like the market just kind of just meandering, right, and looking for some direction, whether it comes from some of these last, you know, handful of earnings that are still that we're still waiting on, particularly Nvidia
and Walmart,
and got some Walmart at the end of the week. I think what Nvidia is not so. I don't think they're
next week,
right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully the FOMC minutes, I'm sure folks will pore over those and try to get some direction. Of course, we had, you know, what Neil Kashkari from the Minneapolis Fed president, you know, mentioning yesterday that, you know, they've made good progress on inflation, but it's still too high. So
yeah,
we'll see what other comments, right? That some of the other
perennial hawk. Now, yesterday the market got whacked pretty good. At the end of the day, I think a stronger than expected retail sales report, number one. And number two, the banks just got crushed yesterday. The regional banks, the money center banks, because of Fitch wagging its finger at them saying, yeah, we're going to downgrade you again. Don't be surprised. And that really, man, that sent the bank stocks just getting clobbered yesterday.
When you had the big short guy selling his positions in banks, Michael Burry.
Michael Burry, and he did a big short on the entire market at this point in time.
Right.
So I guess if you look at the weakness in China, if you look at the turmoil in Russia. Well, you remember, I think it was about a year ago when Xi met with Putin and they said a new world order is now in place. That's pretty much fallen apart here with those two countries kind of having issues of their own, let alone a new world order. So we had a pretty rough day in the market yesterday. There's not much you can do about that. The interest rates have settled down a little bit. We were over 5% on the 2-year, and I see today we've dropped down a little bit. We're to 4.94. The spread between the 2-year and the 10-year is 72 basis points. It's been over 100.
Yeah, and we're still at 4.2% on the 10-year. So.
4.22 on the 10-year today, which is pretty much bumping its head against, like I say, that resistance level. So anyways, that's where we stand with some of the big numbers that guide the market. Now, one of the bright spots in the market today, and I would have never have expected this, even though they gave a lot of negative guidance going forward, Target is right. up 5.3% today.
And they guided. Yeah, the guidance wasn't great either.
It's horrible.
I'm kind of surprised. I mean, it must have been low expectations if the stock's moving 5% up, because they've got a, you know, they potentially, right, have a lot of their merchandises, you know, aren't you know, really consumer discretionary, right? They're not like a Walmart per se, where, you know, a lot of that stuff in there is your consumer staples. And, you know, a lot of their inventory could be, you know, affected if, you know, spending, if retail, right, if folks quit spending because their credit cards are getting filled up based on some of the numbers from the last couple of days.
And Target has gone from a 14% grower to a 1% to 3% grower. Okay, that's not good. The last four quarters, sales up 3%, sales up 3%, sales up 1%, and this quarter, sales up 1%. That's it. Basically flat on the year. And their earnings have taken a big dive. I mean, look at their most recent four quarters, minus 89%, minus 49%, minus 41%. And I guess the good news is they were only down 6% this time.
Well, I was looking for their theft. Usually they've been highlighting, you know, how much theft they had and lost merchandise. I've been looking for that number. I haven't seen it posted.
Yeah,
yet,
I wonder how that shows
interested.
Up. Do they have a line in the income statement, loss from theft?
Yeah, I mean, they had one, I think it was last quarter, and it was like almost $1 billion. I think I want to say it was $1 billion that they kind of like had set aside.
Ouch.
As, you know, what they call a loss provision. Right.
Yes, shoplifting. Okay, yes. So anyways, Target's reported. Cisco will report after the close. That's another single-digit grower. And if you've been a listener of the show for any period of time, you know that I'm not enamored with single-digit growers. You know, at one time they were great growth stocks, but not anymore. We've also had earnings from Brinker. You know, that's Chili's restaurant, kind of a yesteryear brand a bit, and also Maggiano's, I believe they own. We've had earnings from JD.com, an important Chinese stock, TJ Maxx or TJX, which is also kind of an important, you know, gauge of the consumer. And so we'll get into those reports here in a little bit. But I guess Cisco would be the big one here, still left to report tonight. And then tomorrow it's Walmart. That will be a very big one. We'll see what Walmart. Okay, now, but more good news. I guess this could be good news. It could be bad news. It depends on how you look at it. U.S. industrial production rises past the consensus in July.
Yeah, pretty significantly.
Yeah, 1% versus 0.3. So is that too hot for the Fed?
Yeah.
Or is it just right? Does this help us with that soft landing coming in?
Did you see, you know, the Atlanta Fed, I think, came out with a couple of news here. You know, one of them was, of course, they have their inflation expectations are basically 2.5% in August. But I saw where they bumped their GDP number up for the year. I thought they said it was like almost close to 5%. I have to get that number, but I saw it was
maybe
some,
for the quarter. I don't think the year will be that. Yeah, look,
I wouldn't
number
think
up
so either.
The break.
Yeah, I'll find it. Yeah, because they, you know, they're usually, you know, the Atlanta Fed, when they come out with some of those estimates, are usually pretty optimistic. But
yes.
It was kind of a surprise number that I kind of saw flash
well,
by yesterday.
Well, there doesn't seem to be any signs of the U.S. going into a recession. Now, things can change very rapidly. I'd say the biggest issue is things deteriorating in in China with their economy. That's a big issue. And I would say the higher end of the consumer, you know, the big spending seems to be over. That extra cash sloshing around from the COVID, all that COVID money seems to be drying up. Yeah. And also, you know, the student loan debt's going to kick in again in October. So, I mean, it can change, but right now there doesn't seem to be any signs of a recession. Okay, now when we come back, we'll talk about some inflation numbers. We'll talk about the new world order that China and Russia thought they had, kind of backfiring on them. And then we have two target prices out today, one from Jefferies on the S&P 500 and the other one from Wells Fargo on the S&P. I always like to see these macro forecasts. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, market going in the right direction here. Dow up 121. NASDAQ has now gone positive by a few points. It was down about 40 earlier, so that's good to see. It was only a year ago that Beijing and Moscow touted a new world order. Oh, I remember, too, Barry, they were gloating about it and shaking hands with these evil looks in their eyes like, we're now the world powers. Now, you know, you will bow down to us. But things appear
around
to be
around some long table, right? Yeah. Some real long table, right?
Oh, yeah. But things appear to be unraveling fast for their economies. Exports, manufacturing activity, property prices are sliding in China. And, of course, they've decided to stop reporting the country's rising youth unemployment rate, while a worsening debt crisis and deflationary spiral are threatening growth in China. A collapse in commodity-based export revenues and extensive military spending have weighed on sanctioned Russia, which just saw the ruble fall past the psychologically important level of 100 to the dollar. It's down 37% year-to-date, their currency. And they're kind of going a different way with their central banks. China is slashing their key interest rates, trying to shore up their economy. They also allowed some missed payments by Country Garden Holdings, one of China's largest developers of real estate. That's 25% of their economy, by the way, real estate development. On the other hand, Russia's central bank hiked rates by 3.5 percentage points at an emergency meeting yesterday. Its key rate is at 12% now. Okay, 12%. Ouch. Fearing inflationary pressures that could ripple through its economy. And you've also had several Western companies warning about the deteriorating conditions in China. Caterpillar, Danaher, Dow Chemical, DuPont, Parker Hannifin. That's quite a few good, you know, reliable, respectable companies that are saying, hey, things are getting worse. A gloomier outlook means China might miss its annual GDP growth target of 5%. So we'll see, you know, what becomes of the Chinese economy. But that's a ripple that could be felt throughout the world, no question about that.
Well, and the fact that it's, you know, the fact that we're hearing so much bad news out of there, to me, always means it's got to be a little bit worse, right?
A lot worse.
You know, you would think. I mean, because they control the information and the numbers.
Yes.
So.
A lot worse. Okay, now, a couple of macro. Jefferies raises its S&P 500 year-end target, which is, what, 4.5 months from now? Or 3.5 months.
3.5 months, golly, yeah.
4,500. All right, well, that's where it's at now. So I guess Jefferies was behind the curve. They woke up their market analysts and said, hey, you got to raise our, we're way beyond what you targeted to begin with. Okay. Well, we're at 44.44 right now, so we're just 46 points away from that. So basically they're saying between now and the end of the year, they see a flat market. The investment firm went on to add our bull case. I hate this when they give their, it's like, okay, you've now, no matter where it lands, you're going to say, see, we told you so. You say 4,500. Now, what was their previous target? Why did they have to wake up the market analyst down there in his office? Because their previous target was 4,050. And we're 400 points above that. And, you know, that makes them look bad. Okay. They're calling for a P.E. ratio of 20x, which the earnings estimates for this year, the earnings are going to come in at about $220. If you're using 20x, you get to 4,400, and they're saying 4,500. Lastly, their bear case of 3,500 remains the same, factoring in a dot-com-like recession. Okay, so that's their worst-case scenario. They still see growth staying low.
What is a dot-com-like recession?
Well, that was 2000. That was the year 2000 when the NASDAQ went down 79%.
Right. Well, that's just...
That was a kind of a, way outside the norm.
Right.
I don't understand that. But then again, I don't understand a lot of what Wall Street has to say. Wells Fargo calls for slower growth, and their year-end target for the S&P 500 is 4,000 to 4,200. Okay? So according to them, you've got down 10% from here. Wells Fargo believes investors will experience slower economic growth with the recession likely to take hold by the early portion of 2024. Well, and don't forget, we have a presidential election in 2024. We don't know which candidate or who will be in jail, who will be out of jail. Will they both be in jail? We don't know. There's a lot of question marks on that election. Oh, man. Additionally, they think that we're going to go back to that 4,200 area. Of course, Wells Fargo's been pretty bearish. Now, I don't know where they're getting their numbers. They are forecasting S&P 500 earnings per share to decline to $205. You know, that's almost mathematically impossible.
Yeah,
you would have to have just a disastrous.
Are they talking about the next forward four quarters? That's what. Yeah,
no, they're talking about for the year. I mean, the consensus is 222, somewhere in there. They're saying 205. We would have to have just a collapse in this quarter we're in, and the fourth quarter. Sometimes
you'd
I just
have
see
to have
no
some write
logic.
Downs. Yeah, I mean, you'd almost have to have some write downs. I mean, like, in other words, how you got to negative, you know, or very low earnings in 08, 09 is because you had a lot of banks that were, you know, basically writing down losses, right? Taking losses on their balance sheets, right? Not actual dollar losses, just the value of the assets, which brought that overall S&P figure down. I don't know how they would get to that 205.
I always like to see their math, and they're showing their math, and they're saying when the consensus is 222, they say 205, which is 3.5 months to go. I mean, we pretty much know what it's going to come in at this year. I don't know how they can get to 205 other than they're trying to justify their lousy predictions at the beginning of the year, right? Say, we're going to be right. Just be patient.
Just wait. We'll be right. Yeah.
But something,
eventually.
I mean, just from a logical point of view, for us to fall to 20, we've already got, like, I don't know how much in the books in the first half of the year we should cruise in with 220. But Wells Fargo.
Yeah, well, in the Atlanta Fed, like I said, they moved their Q3 GDP number from 4.1 to 5%. So that's a pretty solid, at least for a quarter.
Yeah,
that's a
pretty
good number.
So how are you going to get to their numbers of $205 in earnings? Well, we're almost done with this quarter, so we're at the halfway point. By this Friday, we pretty much know what the first half of 2023 is. And what 2024, because we can kind of project out, you know, the direction of the earnings and come up with a pretty good estimate for 2024. going through. Now it's all about 2024 and even into 2025. Okay, when we come back, here comes a new iPhone, and here comes a new AI model from Google. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We're already looking ahead to Apple iPhone 15. They have started the production line at a facility in India. Okay, I think this is the first time that they'll be building. Foxconn has built the plant over there. They aim to deliver the phones only weeks after they began shipping from factories in China, Bloomberg News reported, citing people with knowledge of the matter. So anyways, Apple is in a multi-year project to branch out its production away from China, de-risking the supply chain for its vital products as tensions between the U.S. and China make trade less predictable. That's another issue with China. You know, the tensions between us and them is not helping their economy. We're a pretty big customer of theirs. Meanwhile, India is seeking to have closer ties with the U.S. and make the country a manufacturing hub. Well, the new iPhone, which could be announced on September the 12th, it better have something, you know, Barry. I don't know.
I was just thinking that as you were going. It's like I ran into this. I think it was this past weekend. My wife was like, you know, she was getting. We needed a new 2-pack of screens or whatever. She's like, what kind of iPhone, you know, do you have? I'm like, I don't even know. Like, if it's a 13, a 14, or what? I think I was able to go in, you know, to the phone and look at the properties. I think it's a 13, but
13,
like,
that's what
I mean.
Got.
Who knows? I'm like, they all, like you said, they're you don't. It's hard to tell the difference between one or the other. It's just like if I need a new phone at the moment, well then I guess I'll get the 15. Right?
Yeah, the only thing I've read about the 15 is maybe a blood pressure monitor.
Okay.
Okay.
And I got like my heart rate on my watch. So my Apple Watch tells me my heart rate. I don't know if it does blood pressure, but
maybe a wide angle camera. I didn't really see anything that was really would move the needle, but we'll see. Okay, but they will be built in India. The new iPhone is important to reviving declining sales. The sales have been impacted by weak consumer demand in key markets such as the U.S., China, and Europe. Now, Google, let's check in on, and of course, Apple's been pretty much a dead stock here since their earnings.
Essentially a market performed since then. Really.
It hit 200 almost got to 200. It hit 3.5 trillion, and it's been really just nothing but flat to down since then. It's at 178 right now. It's down about $25 per share, which is a 12%, 10 to 12% correction since their earnings. And I still have 50% upside potential. That's the best
for
I can
Apple,
do.
Right? Yeah.
And that's subpar. You want 75 or more. Now, on the other hand, I have been watching some activity in Alphabet, Google stock. It's pretty much flat to date, though. They have their AI model, Gemini, is going to power Bard, their enterprise, and cloud products. They pretty much still have to put up. They've shut up because they still haven't really, you know, shown the capabilities that ChatGPT has. Anyways, you got to keep your eye on. They will be a major player, Alphabet, in the AI race. Now, Baird, okay, talk about sleepy analyst. You know, you got to wake them up every once in a while. They'll knock on their door. NVIDIA likely to see an AI supercycle, says Baird.
Likely to see an AI supercycle.
Yes, this one will be fueled by artificial intelligence. Okay, so he's three months behind the curve.
Yeah, and they're good. Muni bond shop. Maybe that's a little slow to the equity side of the ledger, right?
I've just always said that Wall Street peddles mediocrity. That's their main product is mediocrity. We expect AI to fuel significant second quarter revenue growth. So they're getting out of here. Someone said, hey, NVIDIA is going to report next week. What's your latest outlook? So he says, okay, maybe they're getting into AI. Well, anyways, this is Tristan Guerra wrote in an investor note. Our channel checks suggest no competition in AI enterprise for the medium term. So, in other words, NVIDIA's got this space locked up for now. They added that the company's Grace Hopper GPUs will likely be an incremental few billion dollar revenue opportunity in the medium term. Blah, blah, blah. And their price target, they raised it from $470. Okay, so where is NVIDIA today? $442. So that's pretty significant. I mean, they're saying 25% upside potential on the coming AI super cycle. Okay, now here's one I would take with a grain of salt, okay? It's just amazing to me how some of these stocks come public and they just go berserk. So you have VFS, which was a SPAC, VFS. It was a SPAC, and they teamed up with Vietnamese electric car maker VinFast. Okay, so you know the struggles that, I mean, the U.S. EV makers, the Lucid and Rivian, et cetera, this one's going to be made in Vietnam. The stock soared in early trading on Tuesday, and yeah, I mean, it tripled. It quadrupled, up 400% after the company closed its merger deal with Special Purpose Acquisition, SPAC, to team up with this Vietnamese electric car maker. The market cap on its debut was higher than the current valuations of NIO and Rivian and Lucid, despite the automaker being behind competitors in bringing EVs to production in major markets. VinFast has closed that it had 26,000 electric vehicle reservations as of June 30th and 12 showrooms. Now, remember, they're giving this a market cap bigger than NIO, bigger than Rivian, bigger than Lucid, who's cranking out cars at the current time. They delivered in the first half of the year 11,000 vehicles. They're expecting to ramp it up to 300,000. So there you go, VinFast. Be looking for your nearest VinFast dealership that will be selling cars made. Now, I did notice something about they have a North Carolina. They want to manufacture cars in North Carolina.
Well, it's close to the lithium, right? And don't we got an Albemarle?
Yes, they can. They could build it right next to a lithium mine and be right there. UK inflation drops to 6.8%. That's good news. That's the lowest since February of 2022. Okay, we talked about Target's earnings. Now, this one's a little, this one I don't like. Coherent plunges on weak forecast. Well, they make equipment for the semiconductor industry. And Coherent, that stock, last I looked, it was down 20%. Now, this is certain, this isn't, yeah, it's down 35% right now. Okay, is this foretelling that there's going to be big weakness in the semiconductor industry? I don't know, but that's a warning shot across the bow there. Okay, here's another one that doesn't get me too excited. Coinbase is going to start trading crypto futures. Okay, as if S&P 500 futures and Dow futures aren't risky enough, now you can trade futures on the cryptos. I just can't imagine them allowing this, but hey, whatever. And then the oil stocks are having a pretty good day today. One I've been watching is HF Sinclair. I love the dinosaur logo. I just love that.
Oh, that's the best. Yeah,
I remember going by stations in Las Vegas and whatnot with that dinosaur logo.
Yeah, they have one around Gatlinburg. I think that's like one of the first ones I ever saw on
really?
This side.
In
this
Gatlinburg?
Side. Yeah.
By green, Dollywood.
The green dinosaur, right?
It's like,
it looks like
still
a little dinosaur. I think it is,
I'm
yeah.
I'm going to stop there next time and get a knee-high grape soda.
You should be able to see it. It's usually in the spot where there's a ton of traffic.
So yeah. HF Sinclair is up 3.5%. I mean, the refiners are on fire. They're going to do a big stock buyback. That's always a big deal. So someone's doing good out there. They're going to do a $1 billion repurchase program. Okay, when we come back, there's just a couple other earnings reports, and then I want to look at what's moving underneath the surface of the market today. This is Peterson, the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, okay, we have a few other earnings reports that I just want to mention here. All pretty much coming from the consumer. We know about Target, up 5%. Also, TJX had a pretty good report. That stock is up 3.7. That's a really good chart on TJX. It's breaking out to a new 52-week to a new all-time high, $102 billion company, believe it or not. That was one of the better retail stores of all time, one of the better retail chains of all time, and they continue to maneuver in their bricks and mortar space for the most part and deliver a pretty good quarter. They've been a 7% grower lately. I show it with about 65% upside potential, which is subpar, but they reported a good, that's just, you know, a indication of the economy. It's an indication of the consumer, and it's an indication of where the consumer is shopping. Brinker International also reported people not dining out too much at Brinker's franchises. That stock's down 3.7%. 3.7% on Brinker. They have Chili's, Wings, and Maggiano's. Those are their big three brands. Not a very good report for Brinker's. And then we've got Cava. That's the one that went public recently, the Mediterranean fast food. It's down 1.3%.
And they had a decent report for their being their first one.
They
and
had a good report, yeah.
And I think it popped yesterday, like in after hours. But, yeah, it's, I was looking at it this morning, and it's already it's down, I think, 3% or so at one point.
Yep. And then Chinese stock, JD.com. You know, the Chinese stocks are looking rough. JD's down 1.2%. And then Tencent Holdings, which used to be a powerhouse of a stock, and now it's not very good, down 3.7%. There's a lot of money being lost in China. There's a lot of pressure right now on that Chinese economy, big-time pressure. And then the last one is Zim, an Israeli-based. I saw a brand-new Zim ship coming into the harbor a few weeks back. Zim is getting clobbered today.
No, that's the one that you saw, yeah. I remember you mentioned
it. It looked brand new. It had a beautiful color scheme.
Fresh paint job.
Right. Yeah, I think it was a brand new ship.
Wow.
It was really nice. But the stock's not doing very well. Okay, the Dow, The leader is Home Depot today, up 1.2%. Home Depot had a good report yesterday. They continue, but you know, once again, it's a single digit grower now, and Home Depot is up 1.2% today. Caterpillar's up 1.1% today. It's been a pretty perky little stock here recently. They maintain 20% growth this year. They continue to do very well, Caterpillar. CVX, which is Chevron, the oil stocks are rebounding after a sell-off yesterday. CVX, Chevron's up 1.4%. And then on the downside, Intel, which is a pretty volatile stock, it's down 1.8%. Now, my best math gives me about 65% upside potential on Intel. So something's got to give there to put it into my valuation range. It just doesn't have that upside potential that I like. And then Disney's a loser today, down 1%. That, you know, Disney got a little bit of a lift after their earnings report, and it's dropped right back down near its 52-week low. Disney has gone from $203 to $86 in the last few years. Now, at the S&P 500, tax time must be coming up. When's the tax deadline this year?
Oh, you got for your final wig for late. It's going to be, I think it's October 15th. Unless that falls on a weekend. And then, of course, I think corporate return September 15th, if I'm not mistaken. So,
you know, I always wait till October 14th to get all my stuff to my CPA.
put some pressure on them, right?
Yes. H&R Block's up 9% today, and Intuit's up 1.3%. So
they have some news. Remember, for a while they were gonna, you know, essentially the IRS was gonna give some of that software away for free or work it on their own. Maybe they had some for both of them to be up. Maybe they have some news.
H&R Block's the biggest winner. I call it the stock of the day. It's up 10% today. I'm just going to look because you've spiked my curiosity there. H&R Block is up because of their earnings.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, so anyway. Oh, no, wait a minute. They're going to implement AI.
Ah, there we go.
And their earnings. Now, and I also notice Intuit's up 1.3. Progressive auto insurance is up 9% today. That must be some kind of a report there that they put out. And then Allstate, these are all really boring stocks. It's not a very, you know, here's what's one thing that stands out to me today. The tech stocks are dead in the water again. They've had one day in the second half of this year, it was Monday, I think, where they woke up, the tech stocks, and they've gone right back to sleep again. Maybe after Labor Day they'll come alive, but they're absent, totally absent. The leaders in the NASDAQ, Ulta Beauty, Ross Stores, Intuit, and there's a tech stock, Broadcom, up 1%. Okay, well, anyways, if you, you know, I mentioned a lot of stocks as being duds and single-digit growers, and I know some people are looking at their portfolio and going, my guy or gal's got me in those stocks. Why am I in those stocks if they're duds? Well, you know what? You can get a free portfolio review. We'll take a look at your portfolio. If you've got a plan, you know, if the plan has been implemented, where the plan might land you or not land you, you know, given the makeup of your plan and the course that you're currently on. This is not a good market for the bond funds, once again, you know, so if you're in 70% bond funds, 60% bond funds, not good. Not a good environment for the bond market. A better environment for stocks still. But then again, you have to be selective and find growth stocks that are still trading at a reasonable price with that 75 to 80% upside potential. To set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Or get the newsletter. Where we put up or shut up. You can see the portfolios and what's in them and how they're doing. Get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.